First of all, I know you love the Lord or you wouldn't be here. If you didn't love the Lord, you wouldn't show the enthusiasm that I feel, you know, from morning to morning in worshiping the Lord. God has been good to us. A lot of great things are taking place. A lot of great things have taken place. And the revelation has been right on time. Everything has been laid right to the line. And everything is just perfectly in line for what the Lord has said to us and what we've understood of it. And it's come to pass right down the line. It's still falling into place. As a matter of fact, it's just been in the last day or two that I heard that the papacy of Rome is due to come over here, I believe, this week, and going to address the nations. And of course, to me, that has great significance. We spoke of it here just a few months ago when they was talking about him coming over. He's probably the most active pope that we've ever had, and maybe he's got about 4 days over here, is it? And he's just come out of Africa, I heard. But nevertheless, he's going all over the world, and he's touching base with people all over the world, and he's getting a great, great power of influence with all of the world. And he has to do that just right at the end time for the thing to bottleneck and to come up in a caption of Antichrist. Now, somebody said, well, are you calling the Pope Antichrist? I said, Antichrist, not the Pope. I said, Antichrist. So then it has to go up into Antichrist, and it has to come into a bottleneck, and it has to come into a caption that it might be that way, because it will be that the whole world will go Catholic. All of the world will come under the powers of Catholicism as to religion, and all the government will come under communistic power to government. And they will work together hand in hand. It won't be the old way of communism, of what I understand. It'll be a different thing. It'll be an interwoven thing. We said years ago, a number of years back, that they break down the wall over in Russia, and then everything would come together, and then they had built a new way of life as to a new government, but it would be infiltrated with communism and be principally communism, and all the world would come together in a new fad, you know, and a new way, because there's a lot of people, they don't realize it, but there is a lot of branches of communism. I run into some when I was over in Sweden of the different branches. And it's doing exactly that. It's coming into a third world power now. And that's exactly what it takes to bring the end time. As a matter of fact, I understand also that in the last little bit that they have changed the uniforms, whether true or not, I don't know, that they've changed the uniform from the United States Army uniform to the United Nations uniforms. That now that world power that we spoke of, that Mr. Bush set in order when he gathered all those people together during Desert Storm, and what Mr. Gorbachev was wanting to set in order, now all of a sudden it's come together. And the Bible says, if you remember, it says that arms will stand in his behalf, speaking of Antichrist, that arms would stand in his behalf, that he would not have any desire for women. It said this Antichrist that was to come on the scene would not have any desire for women. That was one thing that he wouldn't desire. Like the average male, he doesn't care about women. And of course, that follows the papacy right down the line. They abstain from that. And then it says, but arms will stand on his part. And already the United Nations is coming together in this great power of arms to where that one can get control of it and have a word to where they can just say, go, and all of the armies of the world will go at one time. They'll come together at one time. So when Revelation 19 comes to pass, and the Lord calls for the vine to be cut down, and all of these armies to be gathered into the valley of Armageddon, then there the blood running to the horse's bridle, it will be that when all of them come together, it will be with that great UN a United Nation army. All of them will gather together against Israel and come in there. And we're right on the verge of that right now. Everything is moving right in line for that. And you know the trouble it's been in Israel. And I think they just had Arafat and some of them over here signing some more things about, I guess, the West Bank or whatever it was. I'm not sure. But anyway, it just means that everything is right at an end. The church ages are coming down to a close now. The period of the caring of the child is over now. And the revelation has made its marks. You know, I said this the other night to some of them. I was trying to explain a few little things to some of them. Some of them kind of get misput in their mind and they misconstrue things. And they feel like because of that, that the revelation didn't do what it was supposed to do. And they get this idea, you know, well, we've been here for ever so long. And now, Brother Pike, why aren't you translated? Why aren't we translated? You know, why didn't this thing happen the way that you said it did? But see, we said that everything that would happen, it has happened. It has happened right down the line. What it is, it's your misunderstanding and misconstruing. And because you take these things in an intellectual way, and you get a conception of these in your intellectual mind, and you try to work all of this out in your intellectual mind to the religions of the world today, then you get yourself into a problem. And therefore, you miss the revelation, and all you get is just a lot of knowledge. You listen and hear things, and we say things, and a lot of times it's exciting as the Spirit says things, and we get those things, and we catalog those things. And then when we catalog those things, we feel like we got it, we got it, we got it, when we never did even get in the Spirit. Never did even get in the Spirit. We just picked those things up as an intellectual fad, and we've got those things, and that's all we've got. So then, that means that you missed it, and you didn't get it. And when you miss it, that means you missed the kingdom. And when you missed the kingdom, that means that you missed eternal life. And when you missed eternal life, that means that you are going into the lake of fire. So it is necessary to be sure that when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, the Bible says. Or when you come, the Bible said, take heed how that you hear. You know, and give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For you'll hear and hear and hear. And then after a while, you'll get this thing to where you want to look back into Egypt. And you want to go back into Egypt. And you'll get to looking back on them things back there in the world. And where you was before. And back with relatives and friends. And back to your old way of life. Your schoolings and your colleges. And back to the things that are out in the world. And you find that you'll be dragging your children and yourself right back out into the mire once again. And going right back into Egypt in your thoughts or in your heart. See, it's already in your heart. Or it wouldn't drag you back out there. And the Bible said any man, having put his hands to the plow, looking back, is not even fit for the kingdom of God. Just to put your hands to the plow, looking back, you're not in condition for the kingdom of God. So then when we see this, we realize that a lot of people are missing it, and yet they're so sure that they've got the revelation and they've got this wonderful knowledge of God. But you know, it was like I was expounding to some the other day. I noticed that a lot of people have missed this by wondering why that the translation hasn't taken place. If it is what we say after about 20, 25 years of ministering here, then the thing should have happened and we should have been gone out of here and everybody should have been in heaven. So we say, well, we missed it because it didn't come to pass. Brother Pike misconstrued because that isn't the way it is. But see, again, that's because you didn't understand and you misconstrued. It wasn't misconstrued as to what God gave. It's exactly the way that we said it was, down to the hairline. So then that means that there are a few, but very few, that actually find this. He said, little flock, don't be afraid. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom and to have the kingdom within you. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom's been preached, men are pressing their way into the kingdom. And to have this kingdom of God on the inside of you means that once you get this kingdom on the inside of you, you pass from death unto life. And you do have the kingdom. He did give it to you. He promised to give it to you. Not only that, but then in the book of Revelation, we're taught 11:15, when the last messenger sounds, that the kingdoms of this world also shall become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, that he should reign forever and forever. So then we know that we're living right there in the very end of time, and the papacy coming over, it's kind of putting the capstone on everything as to religion. Now, I said that to say this. A lot of people look for the translation individually. Let's speak of it like this. First of all, has the church been translated? Has the church been translated? Or has it been 25 years of preaching and nothing has happened? Or even beyond that, as some of the others that preach this wonderful thing before we ever started preaching it, and nothing has happened? No, it's not like that at all. It happened just exactly the way he said, from the time that this message started from Calvary all the way down. It's happened just right. We brought it out here one night showing how that all of those things was in part and how they led up to this wonderful fullness that was to be in the end time, which was to be a sevenfold light, that we might have the benefit of all these wonderful things that others did not get the benefit of. For the Bible said, we are they that have entered into the labors of others. If we've entered into the labors of others, then we're getting the benefits that they did not get. And the Bible said, many great men have desired to see the things that you see and have not been able to see them. So then the time and seasons is here for it. Now, to see it is to believe it. To believe it is to be translated. Has the church been translated, or will it be translated, or are we waiting for the translation? The church has been translated. In the foreknowledge of God, before the world ever was, the church was translated. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And the names written down, as Paul said, of my women workers in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was. And we become elect according to foreknowledge. And God brought us to be whatever he wanted us to be and made it manifest through Calvary when the rent veil came as to immortality coming to light. The only difference in Calvary in the beginning of the world was that he gave this to us in Christ before the world ever was, the mystery that was hid in Christ before the world ever was. But it was brought to light at Calvary through the rent veil, and now it has been preached down through the church ages to a benefit of them that can comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. But folks, let me tell you, you're not going to get anywhere unless you comprehend this message as to the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of it. You're not going to get anywhere. You can come and hear all you want to hear. You can come to church. You can number yourself with the Bethlehemites or any other place in the world. It doesn't matter how religious they are. But unless you comprehend this thing as to the heights, depth, width, and length, you don't get any benefits out of it. So then the transformation of the mind, that is the translation of the church. For the Bible said, God hath. That is already. He hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And what we're dealing with is the inner man. The inner man is the angelic being that dwells in this little body of clay. And like the writer said in the New Testament, God has shown me shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. And if I put off this my tabernacle, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. And we have brought that out in detail in different places to explain what that tabernacle is and what this tabernacle is. So then it is said that this tabernacle must be laid aside. This garment must be laid aside. But then the flesh profiteth nothing. So then why am I worried about this tabernacle? I want to lay this tabernacle aside so that I can put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I've done through baptism, and which I am in the sight of God by virtue of what he's already done. But the thing is, to be made manifest, that is to be manifested at the change when the Lord himself appears in the heavens, that we can actually see the celestial body is a different thing altogether. So then the church has been translated into the kingdom of God. But you that are looking for something in the natural, you have gone astray and you've got off on the wrong trail, and you've got your intellect all mixed up with religion, and it doesn't do you any good to listen to anything, because all you do is misconstrue it, because you're trying to mix with your philosophy and your intelligence this thing that's called salvation, and it won't mix. It's two different things altogether. There is death for your intelligence, and there is death for your body, and there's death for your human desires, and the sentence of death is in you, and all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and oh, wretched man that you are. But in the new birth, you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, having put on Christ, being baptized into the Lord Jesus. You've been baptized into the body by one Spirit as a member of that body, and you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And now it doth not appear what ye shall be, but when he comes, then the appearance will take place. For when we see him, we shall see him as he is, because we shall be like him. So then, that means that when we consider these things, we're looking for it wrong. When we look for individual change. People who are looking for individual change, this is where you misconstrue the revelation. You think, well, why doesn't the revelation change me? Why don't I get changed? See, it's nothing but your old intellect and your carnal mind that's still trying to preserve your old human senses and your old human desire and keep you in this world and keep your face and your body and keep your wealth and keep all the things of the world. That's what it is. It's the devil. He savors the things that be of the flesh. And so you want the change. You want the change. See, you want, that is, you want to take the world with you and you want to be part of the world, and yet you want God. And you're trying to figure this thing out, how that you can individually get the change. And I told you, it doesn't come like that. As long as you do that, you're going to misconstrue the revelation, and you're going to miss God's leadership in the fact that this is an invisible thing that works with the angelic being on the inside, and that God, being a spirit, is working in the angelic world doing this, and all of this is hid that the world can't see it. That God has hid this from the eyes of the wise and prudent, so that they can't see it, even through their eyes of understanding. They can't see it unless God enlightens them. So then that means that they cannot see this with their natural eyes and their natural understanding. There's no way that they can understand what's going on. That's the way that God hid this thing. The Bible said they'll never see light. They're blinded by the intellectual darkness of their own human concept and conceit that's on the inside of them as a derivative from the tree of knowledge through the fall of that of Adam and through the beast. So then when we consider this, we start thinking about individual change, and then we get all mixed up and we get all messed up in our mind, because it's nothing but the old flesh and the lust of the flesh and the covetousness of the flesh trying to preserve natural heritage and have the natural benefits of life and keep our natural face and natural body and natural things in this world. See, and it's nothing but the devil himself that savors the things that be of the flesh. But we tried to explain Paul's revelation, where he said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? That is to say, if the casting away of the Jews means that that was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that had to die and go through the dark ages and be out of the presence of God, then that means that while that body is dead and while that body is gone, it's because the head of that body, which was Jesus Christ, was smitten. And the membership of that body had to die and suffer. And that as long as it's dead, out of the presence of God, considered dead, then that means that there is blood atonement that is on the seat of mercy, that all of the world might have the benefits of God, or that the Spirit of God might be poured out upon all flesh. That's how the devil got into heaven to start with, was through this wonderful grace of God, by the blood that God put on the seat of atonement. Whereas we've detailed that in some preaching in parts. So then when we consider this, then we realize that you are looking for the change in the wrong way. And that Paul's revelation tells us that if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, that is to say, if the casting away of the Jews means that God has killed every living creature, that in casting away the Jews and killing Jesus at Calvary, we esteem him smitten of God, that every creature is dead in his sight, so that he can pour out his grace, and that he doesn't see the evil, ugly way of your life. And God can give grace until the day that the church can come out from among the people of the world, or until they that are elect have time to be born into the world and come out from among the world. So the church is coming out. God is calling them out in a spiritual way that nobody can see what's happening, so that the natural man don't get it. They come to church and the twins are born. And that one that is natural, he gets this thing in a concept and he goes to college, or he gets out there in the world and he does his worldly things out there, because he is an intellectual child and he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. He doesn't have the Spirit of Christ. He is of the world and he has the spirit of the devil. And he savors the things that be of the world, because that is his way of life and that is his goals in life, because he is natural. He is gullible and desiring the things of the world. He goes after those things and betrays Christ and never gets the wonderful blessings of God. So then when the casting away of the Jews came, it meant that God had given grace to all the world, and that he would not see anybody alive anymore, so that he would not have to bring the wrath of God upon them, and that all that he would have alive from then on would be the Christian, which is those that are born again that dwell in heaven. That he would translate them into the kingdom of God from the very moment that the Jews were cast away. And that it would be a spiritual Israelite and a spiritual Jew. And all of these would be translated into the kingdom. And the Jews would go out of the presence of God, and they would come from the east and the west as to the Gentiles, and be translated into the presence of God and into the kingdom of God. And the children of the kingdom, which was the Jews, as to the kingdom of David, would be cast into the outer darkness and go through the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and the dark ages and the Holocaust. So it meant that all the world was dead, because the Jews represent the body, while we as spiritual Jews represent the Christ, the interman, the spiritual Jew. We as spiritual people represent the spiritual world, the angelic world, the spiritual Christ, the spiritual Israelite. And so then, to kill the body was to do away with Jesus at Calvary, and to do away with the Jews, and thus consider all of the world reconciled unto God through the death of those Jews and the sufferings of those Jews, as the Old Testament teachings of the scapegoat that was given at that time. So then when we consider this, did we know that if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, that God has considered all humanity dead by the body of the Jews and by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to where he will never see their mannerism anymore. And while he is like that, he has the blood of the seed of atonement. And this takes care of everybody and allows the generations to continue on, and reproduction to continue on, until God has finished this era of grace, which is called the church ages. So this is for the benefit of the church through the church ages. Now, the thing that we have to remember is, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? That is to say, Paul said, and with this revelation, that if the casting away of the Jews indicates that the body is now dead, where God does not have to deal with it, that former things are not to be remembered anymore, and that grace is now here, then what will the receiving of the Jews be but the resurrection, or life from the dead? And this is where that we misconstrue things a lot of times. You will not have a change individually. This is not given to you to change individually. It is given to you in this way, that God individually brings new birth to the Christian. And he deals with them on an individual basis. And every one of them is an individual that has to be dealt with separately. And God saves them individually and gives them new birth individually. But he doesn't do that with the Jews. When he brings the Jews in, the prophet said, "And who hath heard of such a thing, that a nation is born in one day? As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters." Or that is to say that the Jews, collectively speaking, when God brings them together, that's the way he deals with them as a nation. If that is a collective thing in the casting away, that God should deal with the world that way as to the body, so then it is a collective thing that when God brings the Jews back in the last 7 years of Daniel's 70th week. So when the Jews come, the Lord will appear in the heavens. And when he appears in the heavens for Revelation 14, where the new blood seal will be given to Israel, and the 144,000 will thus be there, where the Lamb will appear on the mountain, then it's very evident that he, collectively speaking, has gathered the Jews all at one time. He has gathered the body together all at one time. If the receiving of the Jews is life from the dead, all of a sudden he received the Jews, and it means the resurrection. It means the redemption of the body. It means now that the change is here, the bar mitzvah has come. So then when the Jews come in immediately, if you read in Revelation 4, the door is open in heaven. And just as quick as God accepts those Jews, it means that your body and my body will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Not one individual body, but collectively speaking, all will change at one time. Because our body shows the Jew, and our body is represented by the Jew, and when God changes the body, it will be a collective thing. It will not be individual change. It will be a collective thing of the body that all of them will be changed at one time. But the ones that do not make the transformating in mind will not make the change. The ones that fail to make the transformation of mind will never make the change in the body. So the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world. Then the receiving of the Jews will be life from the dead of the resurrection. And just as soon as those Jews come in, the people will come out of the grave. The people will be resurrected from the dead, and we which are alive and remain shall immediately be changed and caught up to meet God in the air, Christ in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So this means that as long as we are looking at this revelation as an individual change, that means that we're going to misconstrue it and we're going to miss out altogether. And while the great revelation of the Son of God is taking place and everything is falling in its proper perspective right down to the very hairline, then you're going to miss it with your wild desire for your own intellectual thrust and your own ideology, thinking that you know something when you don't know something as you ought to know, and that is to understand the Word of God and the revelation of the Son of God. So then we see that this change that's coming is going to be a collective thing, and it has to be when all of the body comes together. All of the body, collectively speaking, because of the Jews, is now dead. And when the Jews come back in, all of the body, collectively speaking, will then be alive. And it will mean that everyone that has had grace, all of them, your body, my body, even that is of the world, their body, all of them will come to life. Right now they're dead in trespasses and sin. But they will come to life, and suddenly there won't be any blood atonement. And God will see them for what they really are, as to the wretched renegade that they really are. And he'll see you for what you are, as the blessed body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that which is his flesh and bone. So when the blood comes off the seat of atonement at the resurrection, which brings in the Jewish people, then collectively speaking, the change will take place. And that is what you call the rapture. I remind you again, there's no such teaching in the Bible. But it's what you call the rapture. But it's the change, Paul said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So we could elaborate some on the last trump, but we're not going to try to do that. Just these few little fragmental things that we're saying this morning. You need to consider this, because many of you are missing the revelation. And right now, at this point, there are some of you that are ready to go back into the world, and you've turned back into Egypt in your heart. and you've got your mind on the world and the things of the world, and you've missed the revelation and the things of God, thinking that you got to be part of it and that you've got it, now you can go your way and mix it with the gullible desires of the world. But really what it is, it's still the things of the world in you and the love of the world in you, and it's still leading you back out into the world because you get that feeling that you're missing the things of the world. And that makes you want to look back into Egypt, and you're not fit for the kingdom of God. All right. So then when we consider this, we know that there's going to be no individual change of the people. It will be a collective thing because it has to do with the body. And the body is always a collective thing. And I might add this, that our body is not rewarded for the works that it does. There is no reward as of now for your bodily doings. What you do in the body, God does not reward you for it. He rewards you only for what He did in His body at Calvary. And you're rewarded by faith in His virtue and in His works and His righteousness. And when it was said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God that was finished from the foundation of the world. You just believe on me. That is, foreknowledge has brought you to be. So then you don't get any reward for your works. Your works are like filthy rags with all of your efforts. It means nothing. But our faith in Christ purifies the heart, and through the purification of faith, then the Spirit of God comes into our heart and seals our heart, and the flesh profiteth nothing. So you're not profiting anything whatsoever. It is a true fact that we subject the body, and we put the body under subjection. We put a bridle on our tongue, because that is just normal that we should do that. If we have a nature to bear apples as an apple tree, then we should be bearing apples. It's not that we try to do that. That is a nature. We are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we're not straining and trying to do good works. We automatically have a nature to do good works and to have a nature to desire heavenly things and spiritual things and to please God. Because it is our nature to bear the fruits of the Spirit. And if you don't have His Spirit, you don't bear the fruits of the Spirit. And if you don't bear the fruits of the Spirit, then you don't have eternal life. So then that means that we bear the fruits of the Spirit because we have God's Spirit. And that means that there is not going to be an individual change, but this work of our body, these things that we're trying to do, we get rewarded for what God does for us. And these things that we're trying to do, God does not reward you for that which you try to do, but He rewards you for what Jesus did. And then your reward is according to your deeds. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, God will reward me according to my deeds. The Bible says so. I know it does. It says that He will reward you according to your deeds, which means good or bad. If they're good deeds or bad deeds, and that will be according to your nature. So then God will reward you in a different way altogether from what you are believing that God's going to reward you in. So that means that you don't have any works, not any works at all, not any works at all, until the Lord Jesus appears in the heavens. And when He appears in the heavens, all of this faith that you've had, all of the transformating of your mind that you've had, all of the interactivity that you've had for world evangelism or to feed the poor and the hungry or to live an overcoming life, to put the flesh down to where you can manifest the wonderful fruits of the Spirit, once He appears in the heavens, that will be your works. Your works is at the right hand of God, finished. And when your works appears in the heavens, it will automatically relate to your faith. And if you have this faith through the transformating of the mind, then when that work appears as the body, it will be that quick. As the head appears to the membership, then you will be rewarded according to that work. And when that work touches your faith, that will be one instantaneous thing. And your works will make your faith perfect, which will be His works put with your faith. And in so doing, then you will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. But until then, you're not going to get any individual change. And when you do all of these things of frustrating people's mind and trying to divide them and cause problems among them, the Bible said, mark them that cause division, I hate them. And when you talk these things that cause division, and you talk things that bring a discrepancy, and you talk things because you're just vainly puffed up in your fleshly mind and can't get in line to submit yourself, then that means that you're just going to cause problems and muddle up everything to where the children of God can't drink. The Bible said the cattle muddy up the water so that the sheep can't drink. So there's a muddling up. And that muddling up is by those people that are considered to be the cattle, so that the sheep can't drink. They can't drink in that muddled, messed up water. So this means that we, who are the people of God, are patiently waiting for the change. But at the same time, we're not sitting around doing nothing, but we are continually transforming in mind, continually growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, continually developing the mind of God, comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, giving ourselves continually to the great, wonderful mind of God that is taking this body out of the hand of the devil and the intellectual powers of the tree of knowledge that's ruling it with the badge and gun and with the diplomacies of life. So we're gradually striking at that head out there. Of the old serpent's head, we're gradually striking at that thing as to the tree of knowledge and bringing it back to faith and back to the things of God and His way of life. So that means that whatever there is in the world that belongs to us, it will be redeemed. And everything in the world does belong to us. But right now it's under the curse, it's all muddled up, and everything that we have a benefit of out in the world, the devil has got it, he's boycotted it, and he's kept it within a vice to where you can't get to it, and he is causing everything in the world to come under his control to freeze you out completely, to force you to compromise with the sinful things of the world. Well, anyway, these few little things this morning, a few little remarks, might help you. If not, you know, I can tell that some of you are already getting case hardened, as we say. And I can tell that it's really not penetrating and not doing a whole lot of good to you. But nevertheless, it makes no difference. There are those that are the elect, and they are few. But when you get so carnally minded and so natural minded that these things have no, it doesn't leave an indenture in your heart or mind, or it doesn't leave anything there as to penetrate, then it means that you've got too hard. You've hardened your heart, and the hardening of the heart is not as being hardened in the sense of being mean and ugly. It's just simply being carnal and keeping your mind in the natural, thinking the natural thoughts, eating and drinking and going and enjoying natural life. That's the hardness of the heart. All right, let's stand together. I marvel, after 25 years of ministering here, I marvel at the many people that have come and gone, at the many people that are still here, and how little that they have accomplished, and how little that they've grown in the knowledge of God, and how little effect that it has had on them as to bodily surrender and conformity, or getting out of the world and going after the things of God. Their mind is still orbiting around the things of the world. Somebody was just telling me in the last day or two that one of them that works with me went all the way to Carolinas to get to Benny Hinn. You know, somebody said, well, what's wrong with that? There ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing in the world wrong with it. Not a thing wrong with it. It just simply means that something is going on in their life and they just never did get it. That's all. They just never did get it. Somebody would say, do you believe that? I definitely know that. I definitely know that. So then, it's after the world. Things of the world. That's what it's after. But folks, you that love God, and you that have received this thing in your heart, wake up. It's waking up time. And remember, I'm telling you again, it's going to be a very few that makes it. I told you when I saw the translation take place in Nevada, there, that is the change, I could see only three or four people, it looked like at the very most, that made it out of all the people standing around on the earth that I was looking at. So hold fast to what you got. Don't let no man take your crown. Get away from eating and drinking and buying and selling and going, laughing and talking and relatives and friends and whatever, and get spiritual minded. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. What is carnal minded? To be business minded. To be in the world, in the natural things of the world. To go after the natural things of the world. To laugh, to visit relatives, friends, doing all your natural things in life. Just day by day. That's being carnal minded. That's death. There's nothing in there about God. But to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. And folks, you need to awake. I mean, it's awakening time. And if you don't do it, if you few that have God don't get stirred, it's going to cause you a lot of problems. A lot of problems. I mean, you that have God, it's going to cause you a lot of problems if you don't get stirred. Get away from those people. Get away from those carnal minds. Stay away from them. Don't fellowship those people. People that just want to talk about natural things, visit over natural things, do natural things, natural ambitions. Stay away from them. Don't be going out there in the things of the world and looking back into Egypt and making plans for those things. Otherwise, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're not fit. The Bible said if you have the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I'm just your minister, that's all. I'm just here to tell you. And there will come a day when you'll stand before Almighty God. Right now, you're standing before Him. You don't realize it, but you're standing before Him. But there'll come a day when you'll stand before Almighty God. And when you do, the shocking amazement of your life is going to be that you won't stand there to be judged in the sense that He's going to decide pro and con as to who you are and what you are and what you've got and what you're going to have. You're going to find that that's already decided, that that's what the preacher did in the church. And that it wasn't the preacher speaking, it was God speaking to you. And that all of that's already decided, already determined, and already laid up to your benefit, or it's already marked up against you. You'll find out it's absolutely that way. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once again, I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Oh, because that You first loved me, and You purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every jot and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every line, and we're trusting in the Word divine. for every promise in the book. Sing it again. Oh, every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.